This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Come gather around, people, wherever you roam.
Been waiting a long time for this. 102 in the greatest city in the world.
Bart, it has been how many weeks that we've been like waiting for this day, preparing for it. It's great to have you in here in the studio, and here we go.
Yeah, man, it's like Christmas. Hello, everybody. We're here.
A full two-hour midday buffet. And we lead you right into the Michael Kay Show, as we will be doing now forever. Forever.
For the times they are changing.
It's 11 o'clock in the greatest city in the world. It doesn't matter when we're on the air. It matters that we're on the air. So we move to the brunch hour. We move to the lunch hour.
And don't speak too soon, for the wheel's still in spin.
All right, straight up, 12 o'clock in the greatest city in the world. And what the hell am I doing here?
And there's no telling who that it's naming.
Hey, Bellahan, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, in for Dan and Stu.
Oh, the times they are a-changing.
Can't wait.
Let's check out.
This is the Bart and Han Show on 98.7 ESPN.
For the last time, it's 11 o'clock in the greatest city in the world. Alan Han, Bart Scott. And Bart, it wouldn't be our show if we weren't on having some technical issues. Oh. Yeah, I can hear you, though.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah. See, this is just what happened. I can hear you, Bart.
Why can't I hear you,
He can't hear us. This is exactly the way things go. There's a lot of stuff that we've got to work through, obviously, as we'll begin tomorrow at noon from now on, as we'll move on to different times. Now it's noon to 2. It'll be even more on a national platform, but we will always have New York at heart. We will always be a New York-based show. And while we try to get the technical issues figured out...
Oh, man, but you can hear me.
I hear you perfectly. But it's, you got to go... Broke-ass headphones, that's why. So all right, we'll get this whole thing figured out on that end. But yes, for the last time, we will move for another. It'll be in a year's time. It'll be our third different time slot. But this time, we hope it sticks. And we hope you obviously stick with us, as here in New York, we'll be still part of your noon hour, as we have been, at least for the most part, over the last year. So the number's 800-919-3776. And if we got a show today... We knew Black Monday for the NFL was going to be a busy day. It always is every year. We also knew locally it would be. It didn't take long before the news came about, and that was last night after the Jets season had finally ended, that the Jets would be moving on from Adam Gase. No surprise there at all. Now, there's several other teams that are going to be competing for a new head coach. There's one team in Jacksonville Jaguars that are moving on from Doug Marrone. And so that's a team now looking for a GM, a coach, and they have the number one overall pick, as the Jets will have the number two overall pick. The Jacksonville job, you would think, would probably have a lot of value to it because of the pick and who you can get in Trevor Lawrence. And then on top of it, you pretty much have run of the franchise. So is that the most attractive? Well, everybody believes that Urban Meyer has already got that job, that it's just a matter of time and maybe some, you know, technicalities where they want to make sure they comply with the Rooney Rule, so they will interview some others. But all rumors are that Urban Meyer is going to get that job. And he's, in fact, some rumors say he's already been talking to other coaches about whether or not he's going to bring in, who he's going to bring in for his staff. So that's one. The Atlanta Falcons job has been open for a while, and that's one that's interesting. And they're already, like, they're not wasting any time. Eric Bieniemy, who is the offensive coordinator of the Chiefs, and he has been a name that everybody's talked about. That's somebody that you'd think everyone wants a piece of him. He's going to interview there today, in fact, reportedly. But already Shefty is telling us that Eric Bieniemy is also now on the Jets list, and they have already requested the ability to interview him. And this would be the week to do it because they have the bye week, and then the playoffs begin, and you'd have to wait till after the playoffs then to talk to him. So you want to get this stuff done this week. Here's where you get it done. So they got to get right to work. Detroit Lions job is open. Houston Texans job has been open. And so that's all the teams. You have five right now that have jobs available. The Bengals have said they're keeping Zach Taylor, not making any changes there. Some people might have thought maybe they would, but they're not. They like him. Will Doug Peterson get fired? What happened yesterday is that you can't make sense of it on any level. On any level. What Doug Peterson decided to do in the fourth quarter.
You still got me?
I don't know like his reasoning is to watch to see what he can get out of Sudfeld. Nate Sudfeld is a guy who's been there for 4 years, and he is what he is. You kind of know what he is. That was a game that mattered. And if you're the NFL, how do you not find this organization for that? Because that game meant something. It might not have meant anything to the Eagles, but it meant something to the Giants, and it meant something to the Redskins. That was a game that had implications, playoff implications. That's a game that could cost the franchise money. And you basically threw it away. Now, Sudfeld could be like, hey, I'm an NFL quarterback. I'm right here, and you guys are all saying that we tanked because I came in the game. Hey, listen, Nate, no offense, or maybe full offense. You know what you are. And everybody knows that was a competitive game till you got there and couldn't handle a snap and couldn't make a throw. So, I mean, it's unforgivable, absolutely unforgivable what happened last night. And for a Giants fan, you must have been sick. Now, you could be sick at that game, but also be sick at the fact that in week 7, you lost to that same Philly team. And you should have won. So if you had taken care of business, and that's always a thing, you hate being in a place where you're depending on another team to help you get in the postseason. Like the Bears. The Bears got in the postseason because they got some help, because somebody lost. They back in. They get smoked by the Packers, and yet they still get in the playoffs. So it's nice when you lose and still get in the postseason. That's great, because somebody else is worse than you. But there's no one else to blame, really. The Giants can be unhappy with the way things went. I'm the NFL. I'm absolutely saying I'm levying some type of sanction on that franchise. I'm sorry. You can't get away with something like that. That cannot be something that's tolerated in this league. You want to play in a game where if it's two scrub teams and there's no implications, different story. But that game mattered. And you just for no reason took out your starting quarterback and put in your third string guy. Like there's going to have to be sanctions on that. And of course, any other fallout that remains to be seen. But for the Giants, the season ends at 6-10. And Joe Judge, despite the record at 6-10, I feel you tell me they have a coach. They have a coach. That was probably job one. They have a quarterback because early in the season, they were losing early in the season when he was still trying to figure some stuff out. Made some mistakes, as we knew. Then when he got it going and wasn't turning the ball over, they were good. And that defense got a lot better. Patrick Graham did a really good job this year with that team. Then when DJ got hurt, Daniel Jones got hurt, what happened? The wheels fell off again. They weren't nearly as effective. So it just shows you how valuable he is to their success. They were closer than we thought this season. Now, they still have some ways to go here. But they're a lot closer than we thought they'd be. And all you're looking for when you're trying to put building blocks in place is have a quarterback and have a coach. And I think you have that. So for the Giants, the season ends with frustration and misery and a 6-10 record that, when you look at it, yeah, double figures in the loss column is unsightly in the NFL. There's no doubt about that. But you got to feel like you're trending up. Now to the Jets. They fire a coach that should have been fired, as we know, earlier in the season when you could just tell he had no feel. He had no impact. He was not moving that locker room. The problem is you can see that the players, they like him personally. I don't want you to like the coach personally. I want you to respect the coach personally. I want you to like the way he coaches you. That's the issue you have here. Now, where do they go from here? Because you can go back and say that the first mistake was hiring this guy with the track record that he had. But your intentions were bring in somebody that's going to maximize Sam Darnold. The best contribution that Adam Gase has made to the Jets, and you never know, it might end up being one of the great contributions in franchise history. We'll find out. But the best contribution Adam Gase has made in his 2 years was helping them bring in Joe Douglas. Not a lot of people say, well, what do you mean? They were 2-14. He had one draft, and a lot of those young players, as the season went on, showed you something. That you've got something. Like, this guy did a nice job in the draft, his first. He only had one. Free agency-wise, added a couple of pieces. But nothing that really blows your mind. The wide receivers, get them healthy. That was important. The O-line still remains in flux, but it's stabilized. made some moves. You know, Jamal Adams got him out of here. You got assets. So now all eyes are on Joe Douglas. And that's why I said the contribution. We'll find out what the impact is of Adam Gase's tenure here by what Joe Douglas does. Now, I'm not going to give credit to Adam Gase. What I'm saying is, though, it'll be funny how years from now you might look back. Like, if Joe Douglas turns into the executive of, and again, some of the people he learned from, including Ozzie Newsome. Like, when you look at what he's planning to do, what he wants to do, and his personality, and how he is building a team based on the fundamentals that he wants in an organization. Right? The type of people he wants, the type of players he wants. If he can execute this plan, and all the money they have to spend this offseason, tons of money. And they have a lot of draft picks. You hear me now, Bart? You got me?
Just
still doesn't hear
me. Phone. I talk to you that way.
All right. We'll do it this way.
Yep. I guess we're going to have a private conversation with just you and me. And it's all good because that's what we have to do.
You sound crystal clear on the air. But unfortunately, you can't hear anything because you got the worst headphones I've ever seen.
I don't think it's a headphones. It's a connection, man. Because I can hear Anthony perfectly. So we just gonna make it work, man. It's all good.
Somehow, some
private conversation with you and me.
Somehow, some way. Well, it wouldn't be our show if we weren't having any type of technical issues, right? Hopefully, tomorrow at some point we'll be on ESPN Plus. That probably will make it even funnier. The fact that we'll be on TV and acting up like this too. So, well, the bottom line is you can hear me at least some way, and I know I can hear you, so that's a good thing. So what I was saying, Bart, as we were kind of eulogizing the Adam Gase era, is I said that he actually still could have a major impact on this franchise by the fact that he was part of the reason why Joe Douglas came in and took the job, right?
Absolutely.
And so what Joe does from here could make us look back and say, you know what, Adam Gase was an awful coach, but at least him being here allowed the Jets to get Joe Douglas, and Joe Douglas then was able to build this franchise up with all the assets that they acquired and all the draft picks that they have and the free agency, the money they have in free agency, and the fact that also it sounds like he's going to have a heavy impact on who the next head coach is going to be.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about McCagnan, you know, being the coach, and that marriage never worked, and, you know, Joe and Adam did a great job in making sure that he got him out of there. Right, he did that in short order because he was the new fresh person on the block, and he was emboldened and empowered, and he used that power to get McCagnan out of there. Now the byproducts of that was Le'Veon Bell and maybe some pieces that he didn't really want, and you know, ultimately that's what cost him his job was his fact that he couldn't get Sam Darnold to look like a better quarterback. Right, for what all you say, because you think about 7-9 is not horrible, right? And then to come in the next season and two, maybe you could have lived with it if you would have saw, you know, Sam Darnold, like, hey, well, Sam Darnold still looks like he's the man. He just got guys who can't catch the ball. He got guys who can't protect. But, you know, the problem was is Sam got better talent around him. When you think about Mims, you think about Perriman, you think about Crowder. But the productivity, he didn't look better. You look at what happened yesterday. It was a microcosm, right? He makes some good plays that make you say, okay, well, okay, he got it going, drop a couple dimes. But then he has these year one throwing into coverage, not seeing the backside corner fall off, you know, type of throws. And it's like, well.
And that killed a beautiful drive yesterday. You're right, that one pass.
Exactly. And it's like, well, what are you teaching him? Because it seems like he hasn't grown. It's like his football acumen didn't grow. Like he did in year three, and I know Sam has to take accountability for some of this stuff, but you didn't see Sam do the little things. You didn't see Sam come up and be able to run 2 minutes by himself. You know, you think about some of the other quarterbacks, they kind of let him go with the 2 minute offense. You know, you think about, you know, the little things, getting to the line of scrimmage, you know, quick counting, hard counting. You never see any of that stuff with Sam Darnold. You don't see a lot of creativity on the offensive side of the ball. You don't see shifts, motions, ghost motions, you know, for the most part, to kind of give him some of the answers to the test before. And it's crazy, right? Because I'm listening on the air. I'm listening to Jay Feely, who's a kicker, talk about these things. Like, if he's a kicker and he knows these things, why doesn't Sam Darnold know them? And, you know, farther yet, why don't Adam Gase implement it and teach him those type of things? So, I mean, I think, you know, the jury's still out on Sam. And one thing I do know It's going to be about Joe Douglas and how he feels about going, you know, forward. And I know that's what people worried about is the Johnson's going to make the hire. No, I've been told that Joe Douglas is going to make this hire, that the president of football operations is going to oversee it, not because he wants to put a input about who he thinks should be hired, but he's going to go through the process because last time they hired the search firm, he was there, and he knows the procedures about how they go about it. So there's no need to hire a search firm. You know, you're going to let Joe Douglas go through his checklist and say, hey, you know, just as reminders, hey, you know, Joe, you know, we really talked about we want the coach that marked this box, that checked this box and that box. You know, so let's make sure that they're doing that. But by no means is anybody outside of Joe Douglas making this hire. He's going to make this hire, and ultimately the person that's going to okay it and green light it is Christopher Johnson, not Woody Johnson. This is a Christopher Johnson thing. And like Christopher, when Apple was playing, wasn't around as much. But now Christopher is, you know, you can't put the genie in the bottle, so to speak. He's there. He's going to be involved. When Woody comes back, he's still going to be involved. He's not going to go back into the shadows and be the unknown brother. He's going to be really, you know, really dealing with the day-to-day. And what he's done since Woody's been gone is he's created a lot of connections and a lot of relationships with a lot of the players. And that's his strength, his ability to reach out to the players and kind of see what they desire, what they want, and how they're feeling. So, I mean, I think that Joe's going to make the hire. I think Chris is going to allow him to make the hire. And he's going to have a team around him to make sure that they're checking all the boxes that they said that they wanted to check and what they were looking for in the leader of this team. This is all about Joe Douglas. Whatever he makes, whether he decides to stay with Sam Darnold or not, whether he decides to what coach he decides to hire, he's got to live with it. And ultimately, it's going to be his success or it's going to be his downfall.
800-919-3776 is the number at Barton Hunt on Twitter as well to get part of the conversation of what you're looking for the next Jet head coach. What we do know is Eric Bieniemy's on the list. Arthur Smith, the Titans offensive coordinator, who basically is the one who got Ryan Tannehill, you know, gave him his rebirth after he moved on from Adam Gase. And Matt Eberflus as well is the defensive coordinator for the Colts. Those are three guys we've already seen reportedly connected to the search for the franchise right now. Some other interesting names, though, on the college front, and I'm telling you, these are names I'm looking at, too, because it does sound like they are looking for the CEO that we've been talking about forever, the guy who's in charge. Doesn't necessarily have to be an expert in one side or the other, but someone who's more of about setting the culture and just being the front man and then hiring the right people to run the different parts of the team. Pat Fitzgerald from Northwestern is a guy I just feel like if you're doing a full search, you've got to talk to him. It does sound like he might be open to listening this time around. In the past, he has said no. That is someone that I think you got to talk to. He's done such a great job there, and you consider, you know, what they've got to deal with. And then on top, Matt Campbell from Iowa State, another guy, if you're talking about offense. So you good now, Bart?
I'm good now.
My man. All right, mute. So we figured it out. But there's some, you know, there's some names that I'm just putting out there. And we'll get deeper into it as we go throughout the week. Because Bart's got a name that people will call a retread. But he's passionate about this name. But we're going to tease that because we got too much to do. And we're already late in the segment. We haven't gotten a chance to get a call yet. And we've got, by the way, a name that I think a lot of Jets fans might want to consider. And he's going to join us next. He joins us every Monday. But instead of doing it at noon, we're going to do it sooner. And that is our good friend Rex Ryan. Do you think there's any chance, Bart, before we even talk to Rex about it, any chance at all that Rex is part of this search?
I don't know. I mean, can you go back? Can you go back home? I know that he has the desire for it. I know the Johnsons.
Billy Martin did.
I know the Jets love him. I know the Johnsons love him. It would be a controversial pick, but you know, when you're the owner, you do what you want, and it's going to be based on Joe Douglas. If Joe Douglas thinks, hey, maybe it can work, I would love to work with Rex, then maybe it could be something that could be out there. I mean, you have to consider everybody, right? I mean, you think about a lot of retreads out there. You know, where they interviewed Doug Marrone, right? That was somebody that was on
their
list before. Doug Marrone,
right, just got let go today.
Right, so would they interview Doug Marrone? Like, this is going to be an extensive search. And they're going to have to do a deep dive. And you can't – I know you don't want to be late. Especially, you know, you could be waiting for the enemy and his answer for a long time. You know,
yeah, that's the one thing you don't want to deal with is, right, Eric Bieniemy's going to have a lot of people that want to hire him. He's going to have a lot of options. The Atlanta Falcons certainly being a team that already, they're not wasting any time. They want to meet with him as soon as possible. So, yeah, you're right. But if he fits everything you want, you might want to wait for him. 800-919-3776. We do have Rex coming up. Here's what we're going to do, though. We'll put the calls on hold for a minute. Everybody just get lined up. We know you want to talk. Since we won't have Rex at noon, we'll take a ton of calls in the noon hour to get your reactions. Giants fans as well, your season ends at 6-10. And the way it ended, of course, you could blame yourself for Week 7. You win that game in Philly, and this game didn't even matter. But what Doug Peterson did in that fourth quarter, Bart, I don't know if you heard me earlier, inexcusable. And if I'm the league, I've got to put some kind of sanction on that franchise for allowing that to happen. That game mattered, Bart. You can't do that in a game that matters. One thing if it's like two teams that are done, and you want to throw out some scrub third-string quarterback, and, you know, Sudfeld knows what he is. But still, like, how do you possibly do that, and the league just says, hey, you know, I guess they wanted to check out that quarterback. No, you don't do that in that situation.
Yeah, I mean, they could if that's the case. They could have just set and started Sudfeld or something.
Exactly.
Or they could have said, hey, well, you know, we're going to let Hurts have the first half, and we're going to let Sudfeld have the second half, and we're just going to, you know, live with it. But when you feel like it's a competitive advantage, and you feel like, okay, well, they just, man, do they have a love for Ron Rivera because Ron was there and coached there for 5 years as the linebacker coach and wanted to throw him a bone?
Again, what do you mean? This is not that's competitive. I mean, how is that even part of saying that now you have any type of integrity whatsoever? Competitive integrity is not, hey, we're just gonna completely tank this game because we like Ron Rivera. If I'm the Giants, you cost me money.
Is the hate real like that?
Oh, must be.
Is the hate that real?
And you know, like, what, Giants fans? This is what you get for rooting for the Eagles. Never again. all you that tweeted, fly Eagles, fly. That's what you get. It's like rooting for the Patriots if you're a Jets fan. All right. So again, 800-919-3776. We'll get your calls going. Our little farewell tour at 11 o'clock. But of course, we still will be with you on this station, 98.7 ESPN. And now, starting tomorrow, all across the country. And you can see us on ESPN Plus starting tomorrow as well, which is pretty cool. And we've been setting up all that stuff, too. There will be technical issues. We promise. We got to get into what we saw in the college football playoff semifinals, Bart, because while we expected Notre Dame to get their doors blown off, and how dare you? How dare you, Bart, for doubting those Irish? Consecutive weeks.
Yeah, that's something that we let die, right?
No, we didn't let that die because the problem was that you said what you said. All the Notre Dame fans, like, you know, were going off on you, how you're going to eat your words and for doubting the Irish defense, blah, 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 blah. And then what happened? Oh, my God.
The brakes beat off.
Touchdown Jesus became facepalm Jesus.
What happened to all the sunlight?
Like, I mean, look, Notre Dame, it's good to see them back as a prominent program because it's such a tradition. But you got to bring it, man. You've got to get to a point.
Brian Kelly.
It's Brian. I had Brian right. Even he could feel it. Oh, the national media might not want us here, but we're here to stay. All right, you might be here to stay, but you need to dial it up a little bit before we start taking you serious.
Right.
And so, okay. So that part happened. Alabama happened. We expected all that. But the Ohio State Clemson. I said before the game even started, Justin, this game matters so much to Justin Fields on many levels. Like the pressure on this kid, not only to win a game and get to the championship, but to sort of establish himself as everybody's talking about Trevor Lawrence, and no one's sure. They might take the kid, you know, the Mormon Mahomes at number two, right? They're talking about this kid as if he's the guy you want to take, the BYU quarterback.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like people are doubting me. Like, he had to show up and show out. And, oh, my God, did he show? Like, so we've got to get into that in the 12 o'clock hour. There's no doubt about that. Let's not waste the time here. But we will get into, because that number two pick now for the Jets is extremely valuable now because of that. And it could go up even more if the championship game against that Alabama defense, if you see more. So that's coming up in the conversation. I know some fans want to talk NBA. It's Black Monday. It's NFL. There's a lot to talk about here NFL-wise. But I do also do want to make note that if you look at the standings this morning, there is a New York team that has a non-losing record. Then there's a New York team that has a losing record. it's not the one you thought. Just say, just throwing it out there. One team plays defense, the other one doesn't. So wherever I want to start that kind of trouble.
Wherever Mike D'Antoni goes, defense just dissipates.
Defense is optional. You know, there is so much to get to. We have an hour left in the show, and we have a lot of calls. So we're going to get to all the calls. We're going to discuss what we saw in the college football semifinal, and obviously what sets up for a championship game that, again, all eyes on this game. This is it's suddenly an exciting game. But from a Jet perspective, as depressing as it is to see that you won't be able to draft Trevor Lawrence, because Jacksonville will. It makes total sense. That at number two now, there's options. And the option could be to keep Sam and trade that pick or do some of that. Or the option could be you have an option now, a quarterback, that is not Sam. And what we saw to Sam these last 3 weeks that makes you believe that maybe not only was it time to move on from the coach, but the quarterback as well. Eric Bieniemy is on the list. He's on everybody's list, Bart. As we know, reports are that the Jets will look to meet with him at some point this week while they're on the bye week, the Chiefs. Meanwhile, the Falcons and Lions reportedly are both expect to meet with him today, not wasting any time at all. And the Falcons' job, you know, would sound interesting to him because it's pretty ready-made. You've got an offense already in place. Lions do have Stafford, but you mentioned it while we were just talking here. That Chargers job that just became open, Anthony Lynn was let go, according to Schefter, with Justin Herbert and those weapons, and you're in L.A.
Yeah.
And you said it, too. You got a quarterback that's still in his rookie deal for another 4 years.
Yep.
That's not a bad situation.
Yeah, you got palm trees, you got
the beautiful
sunshine,
stadium.
Beautiful new stadium, new facility, rich owners. Man, that will be an attractive location for me.
Whew.
And he's going to stay in the division, so he's already known and done the prep for the players in that division. Now, he'll be going against, you know, his father-in-law, so to speak, and Andy Reid.
But he knows how he thinks.
Right, and you know all the tricks.
Although again, that's offense. He's not coaching the defense.
But don't matter. Brian Flores is right there, right? He's going right in there going against Bill Belichick. He didn't mind staying within the division. So, I mean, I think you think about Eric Bieniemy going out there. I think he's from that area as well. I think he's from L.A., that area, going back home and getting paid a boatload of money to sit in that type of weather and have that type of quarterback. Your offense can't look bad with him. I don't care what offense you put him in. Okay. I don't care what quarterback you put in. I don't care what you put in. You got a quarterback like that, you're going to win some games.
That job becomes suddenly really interesting. So six teams have openings so far.
Will there be
Falcons,
another?
Lions, Texans, Jets, Jaguars, and the Chargers. Yeah, what would be? Would it be the Eagles, Doug Peterson?
Yep.
Howie Roseman said something interesting this morning when he talked about Carson Wentz, and he talked about how there's some players who feel like, you know, like their fingers on a hand, like you don't know how you just don't imagine life without one of them. And like, that sounds like he's more aligned with Carson Wentz, who wants out because of his relationship with Doug Peterson, than he would with Doug Peterson. Like, what happened last night on so many levels is going to resonate with that. Like, does Wentz want out? So if you're the Eagles, are you saying, all right, fine, we'll just trade you? Or do you say, well, no, all right, you have a problem with the coach, then we're going to move on from the coach? So the Eagles situation is suddenly one to keep an eye on after what happened last night and how difficult it would be to move Carson Wentz unless, of course, the Colts wanted him, and then things get interesting.
That'd
so all that's going on, right? The Jet job is open. We told you about Bieniemy. They're going to also have interest in Arthur Smith from the Titans, Matt Eberflus from the Colts. They're going to talk to some college guys. I think Pat Fitzgerald is going to be on that list. Matt Campbell is going to be on that list. You know, will they talk to Doug Marrone, who's now available? Will they bring in someone like a Jim Caldwell? Will Bill O'Brien be there? Or Marvin Lewis? There's a lot of names that they're going to have to go through, and they will go through. It'll be an extensive search. But in the meantime, with this job, Bart, is a number two overall pick that after the championship, after watching the college football playoffs, the semifinals, and watching what Justin Fields did against Clemson. Now, I think Clemson's defense was awful, and it got worse after that hit. After James Skalski got thrown out, which, you know, did you see the hit? Do you remember the hit?
Head first into the
rib cage?
Yeah, I mean,
they called him for targeting and threw him out of the game. When he left the game in the middle of the field, like, it was a joke defensively what Clemson could not do. And then they made Trevor Lawrence. So Trevor Lawrence was under pressure the whole game and struggled. He did not look great. He had a, and you know, obviously when you're running for your life, you're not going to look good. So when you watch that game and you see what Justin Fields did, does it change your opinion about what you do at number two? Or do you still feel like, no, Lawrence is the prize, and now keep Sam and use that number two pick to get as many assets as you can?
I mean, I was on that train.
You have been.
I have been.
That's why I'm asking, have you changed your – did one game change your mind, or do you need to see him do it against Alabama before you feel like, all right, maybe there's something special here?
This is the problem. I don't have a problem with Justin Fields. I mean, I think he's a decent quarterback. I just don't think that he's a franchise quarterback. I think he's no different to me than a Jalen Hurts. I don't think he's any better, any worse. And I don't think that nobody's beating the door down for Jalen Hurts. I think Jalen Hurts can be a good quarterback in a certain type of system. Justin Fields, I mean, he was putting everything on those one-on-one throws. You know what I mean? He was getting predictable reads where he knew it was one-on-one, man-to-man. He just threw it up there. I wasn't overly impressed with his arm strength. And I don't want to fall for seeing a player in one game and thinking that, okay, well, this is a player that I have to have. So for me, it's a no, but Sam Darnold did not impress me yesterday. It was like, I wanted.
Not even yesterday. The last couple of weeks, like, this was his time to, like I said, stake your claim and basically say, like, I'm the guy. This is my job. Yeah. I'm not giving this thing up that easy.
Yeah.
And instead, he just looks like a guy that's making the same mistakes. That's just accuracy at times is questionable.
Right.
And his feel in the pocket also remains to me something that you wonder about.
Yeah, for me, it's just...
Has he gotten better? Is it coaching or is it him?
For me, it's the decision-making. Like, why did you throw that ball? Why didn't you see that? Mm-hmm. Like, his pocket presence, I think, the last couple games, he's been playing instinctively and been moving around in the pocket and making plays with his feet, and being able to show that he can get tough yards running. I forgot who he ran over the other week. Ran him over, but then apologized to him. But, I think that... he's a guy that shows a lot of grit. But then I always remember the dude's only 23 years old. He's younger than Joe Burrow. But it's just his lack of experience and his lack of playing time. Just think, we would hope that he would have 3 years of playing time. He's missed a bunch of games in his 3 years in the league, so he doesn't have that experience just by, playing the game a lot and being put in situations because he's missed so much time. So it's like he misses a lot of time. He's still young. But, man, I got to figure out if I'm going to pick up his option. If I keep him here, I'm not picking up his option. I'm making him earn it. And I may bring in somebody to compete with him. That number two spot is so valuable.
And it can get more valuable.
If you can move down and somebody else loves Justin Fields or loves Trey Lance, like who's going to be the Josh Allen of this draft? Who's going to be the guy that nobody, I wouldn't take him, and then somebody's going to hate him, and a lot of guys aren't going to like him, then a lot of people are going to love him. Who's going to be that guy? Because that guy may exist because we looked at Lamar Jackson, bottom of the draft. We look at Josh Allen, he slipped a little bit. You look at Rosen, we don't even know where he's at. You think about, Baker Mayfield, we watched him, seem like he's turned the corner a little bit, but I'm still not sold on him. On a franchise quarterback, he's one of those tier two quarterbacks that you can win with, like Jimmy G, like Goff. But he doesn't remind me of one of these guys that can be a force multiplier and make other guys, punch far above their weight level. But he's going to be their future quarterback. I think that could be a mistake when they decide to sign, Baker Mayfield to a long-term deal. I think that could be a huge mistake, and they could be stuck with him.
Well, they've turned him into they've turned him into a game manager. That's a team that runs. He threw 179 yards yesterday. They're not going Aaron Rodgers with guys like that. Like, that's what you've got to decide. And maybe that's what Sam becomes.
Right.
Is you just basically are going to live with the fact that we have to be a ground and pound team with a quarterback who just has to manage the game, make the throws when necessary, but we're not living and dying on your arm. Now, you could move down, but not too far at two, if you think you can get Zach Wilson a little bit later in the top 10 if you want a quarterback, because everybody loves him too. I just feel like there's so much skill. Like Devontae Smith, man, like he is so slippery.
Yeah.
His yards after catch, his ability to make catches, he's a special wide receiver. Now, I know there's others everybody loves in the college game as well.
Chase something.
You watch him, Ja'Marr Chase, You watch Devontae, though. There's something special about him and his elusiveness that you think this guy in the league is going to be. He's going to be, like, off the line. Like, you try to jam him, he just destroys you. He breaks ankles.
See, but the crazy thing is, man, like, the receiver position is the new running back position, where you don't have to go and spend top 10, you know, draft equity on these type of guys.
Because
look at you know, Justin Jefferson, just 1,400 yards receiving last year.
You're right.
You know, you look at Chase Claypool. He was second round draft pick. You look at Mims, and then you look at the guys that went before him. You know what I mean? You look at guys like Jerry Jeudy. He didn't have a great year. Remember the guy who ran the best routes in the NFL, meaning in college, Jerry Jeudy? He didn't have a great season at Denver. Now, I know he didn't have a great quarterback, but he didn't have a great season. Had a lot of drops. Right? CeeDee Lamb, he was cool, but he didn't like the world on fire. The receivers that you're more impressed with are Justin Jefferson, and you think about Chase Claypool. And I like Mims. You know, and you look at some of the other guys.
I think Mims has got talent. You could see Mims has got, like, a little bit of alpha in him. Like, you could see, like, we're only scratching the surface on this dude. Like, when you get a quarterback that can put it in a – see, that's why, again, I go back to, you know, because Ty Johnson impressed me. We know P. Ryan. Like, they've got some runners. But Mims is definitely a guy that you feel like you get a guy that's an accurate thrower.
He's a future number one. He's a future number one.
Yeah,
he's a big body too.
Yeah.
He's a big body. So I'm not going to spend my top 10 pick on a receiver.
No, okay.
You know what I mean? I'll do that maybe with the second pick that I have in the first round, or maybe in the second round. Listen, you know that at three, that the people within your division in the Miami Dolphins are going to go get Sewell. They're going to get that best Anthony Munoz type of tackle to protect their young investment.
Why don't the Jets do that?
That's why I'm saying. That's why I don't think I'm moving, because I'm just going to take the best player. If the best player got the potential to be a 7-time All-Pro, potentially be a perennial Pro Bowler, then, you know, which means if he's a perennial Pro Bowler and All-Pro, that he's going to be potentially a gold jacket. I'm putting him next to another dude that I ain't got to worry about nothing. Everybody walking in like, listen, my quarterback is going to be fine. And if we need help in pass protection, I'm going to leave. I don't have to worry about my edges. I'm going to take my running back and put him in between the A gaps and B gaps to make sure that I can protect the middle, you know, coming up. And maybe I can get one of these guards in free agency. And I ain't got to pay my two tackles for four more years. On the outside. So I can have, like, that great wall of China, so to speak, thinking about how Dallas been. Thinking about how the Raiders were a couple years ago. Thinking about how the Titans was with LaJuan and Conklin. Man, I go do that.
Well, and again, the Browns got better because they did the same thing to their line. You know, you go out right with Conklin, you get a free agent, you draft well, and that just changes. It changes everything. 800-993-7776. But we haven't even talked to the people yet today.
Let's talk.
We got to do that now. And there's no better person to start off with than Tessa and Wes Caldwell.
Tessa's gonna have to call the national line now.
That's right.
I don't know if that's a national line long distance for Tessa now. Is that gonna be long distance?
You better knock it off. Even if it was, I'm calling. I'm so happy for you guys. You know, it's my number one favorite show. I'm so happy. I'm so excited. And you know, I'm gonna be in the building all the time. You know, now that's real lunchtime. 12 o'clock is real lunchtime for me, so I don't even have to like leave work early or nothing for y'all. So I'm very excited. But I would have did it again. You know me. New Year, Happy New Year. I'm gonna try to be. You know, I'm gonna try not to black out as much this year. I'm gonna try not to. I'm trying to wear my emotions on my sleeve so much. So I want to start off by saying we had no business putting ourselves in the predicament depending on anybody to get into the playoffs. Period. Point blank, especially when it's our rivals. Point blank, we shouldn't even been in that predicament. It was too many games.
Won that game in Philly. Week seven.
But guess what?
That
game was real quick, before I even get into my point, that's exactly why I want Evan Engram gone, because I don't care what nobody say. When the spotlight is on him, he's a bum. Remember week seven, he dropped that pass that would have converted that 3-1, and we would have won the game.
Yes.
Yesterday, even though we won the game, he dropped that critical pass yesterday and caused the interception
for
Daniel Jones. I'm tired of him, guys.
I don't care about
his upside. I keep seeing his downside, and I'm tired of bashing my head against the walk up to him. Cut him. I'm sick of him.
He went to the Pro Bowl this year.
You know, I'm going to be honest with you. The Pro Bowl is, I'm sorry. That's, to me, crap. So other people need to have input besides fans. Coaches, somebody. Maybe sports analysts.
No, it is coaches. It's coaches, players, and fans. And the problem
is... Who voted him in? Because it's more Giants fans that feel like me about Evan Engram. Who voted him in? The other team to be a joke?
like, Eagles
that's
fans.
Disgusting and disrespectful. But listen, I just want to tell you this real quick. I'm going to be honest with you. Alan, I agree with you 100%. Philly need to be fined. Now, I don't care about no full-field good stories. Oh, that's why maybe that's good, the best that Washington is in. I don't care if, oh, because he coached with Ron Rivera for 5 years. No, at the end of the day, it's about commitment. I guess Doug Peterson said, oh, no, Greg Williams, hold my beer. Let me do this better than you, because that was disrespectful. You ain't hear what J.J. Watt just said the other day? Oh, that didn't apply to you? Philly was playing hard. Defense was balling. I mean, 3 and outs back-to-back. I mean, the offense, you could tell on the sideline everybody's depleted. The O-line looked like they was ready to go cry. Like, I can't believe Doug Peterson did that, but that's okay. That's why you're trash. I feel like he just wanted to, I don't know, give Carson Wentz another chance, because y'all know if Jalen Wentz would have, I mean, Jalen Hurts would have won that game, it would have been very hard to me to bring Carson Wentz back. They would have tried to give him a try, or at least Carson would have been the backup, and they would have been trying to, I don't know, trade him, something like that. It was disrespectful on so many levels. Sanctions need to come down. That was disgusting, because like you said, that was not a scrub game. It was big implications in that game, and everybody was tuned in. And everybody was like, wow, this game is really, like, competitive. The game was really good. And then you're going to do, I already knew they was, when they sat non-players, I already knew they was trying to lose on purpose. When they went for the fourth and goal, I already knew they was trying to lose on purpose. But then when they put that guy in, that bum, stop saying no offense to this guy. He's a bum. That's why you're a third-string quarterback. He know what it is. He knows what it is. So ain't no, I'm offending you because you're a bum. You couldn't even hold a ball. I can't. Listen, I said I wasn't going to black out. Let me calm down. I can't. This is crazy. You know, I feel like somebody stabbed me in my stomach. My garbage hanging out. Yeah. Garbage. Trash. You know how I feel right now. But on the upside, I'm so in love with Joe Judge, Patrick Graham, everybody. We need a stud wide receiver. We need a freaking pass rusher, just somebody that can win a one-on-one, and I think, and keep our defense in place, or whatever like that. Keep Bradbury, keep our defense in place. Well, I think the stars is looking real bright for us next year. I really do.
That means $100 million for Leonard Williams then. That means $15, $18 million a year for Leonard Williams. He's played well this year. Mm-hmm. But if you pay him, I don't know if you can go out and get a pass rusher at the same time. So Leonard Williams may be your pass rusher. I had it. Yeah, I had eight sacks this year. And oddly enough, Quentin Williams had 7, and he didn't play the whole season. You know, but, you know, he's playing more of a big end in that defense. And listen, hats off to the Giants and the season that they've had. But if you take a deep dive, you know, we're talking about 6 wins. You know, and
I don't do that. Because you saw early on, they had one stinker. And that's the 49ers.
No,
they were competitive, but you could just see the quarterback. He still had some things to figure out. When he got on a roll and he wasn't turning the ball over, and then the defense started, you saw that clicking. And then, all right, now you started to see a team that was competitive and finally able to win the games. When Daniel Jones got hurt, they couldn't do anything. Colt McCoy, they could not score.
Yeah, but
they
could not get
it done.
Still 6 wins.
Yeah,
I know. Listen, I don't want to be Debbie Downer. I don't want to be Debbie Downer, but that's 6 wins.
I think they're in a good place.
They are, and I think they have a lot of work to do. But I don't want to, you know, give Joe Judge a parade for winning 6 games.
Oh, right? I'm not giving a parade. But Bart, like, some things are tangible. Right, some things are about stats and records and all that stuff. And something like 7-9 for Adam Gase last year was not a 7-9. Like, you know, they won 6 of their last 8, and oh, maybe they got it turned around. They never looked like that was all Greg Williams and their defense and some of the stuff they were doing, and the fact that some teams weren't taking them seriously. You definitely could see at the end of the season, it didn't feel like, boy, there's some great momentum.
Yeah.
This Giant team had a different feel about it. As the season went on.
It does, but what you have to ask yourself and what you have to evaluate and say, okay, is this a good 6-10 season, is the fact that when Dak Prescott comes back, and he didn't have an Achilles, or he didn't have a ACL. He had a broken leg.
Yeah.
You know, that heals a lot faster, and he should be ready for training camp, OTAs, all that stuff.
Good.
And this dude was putting up 500 yards a game.
Yes.
So what you got to ask yourself, can we compete with that type of Dallas team that has Smith back, that has Lionel Collins back, right? Can we compete with that team? Because that team is going to be better next year, just like you're going to be
better.
We
shall see.
Or if Alex Smith decides
to come back from the injury and still be that player, man.
Yeah, but it's a broken leg. It's a big difference.
And Washington's got to figure out who their quarterback is, because I don't know. Alex Smith has got all kinds of – he looks like Tiny Tim. He's got braces all over his leg.
Well, this guy, come on, you can't tell me that Washington knows their quarterback situation is absolutely settled. No, this is their swan song.
Exactly. This is Alex Smith's swan song.
He's going to be gone.
But guess what's going to happen in Philly? We don't know what's happening in Philly. He might need a new coach.
But guess what?
Is it Wentz? Is it Hurts? Who's it going to be? This division is up for grabs.
If I can be anybody, any team within that division,
I'd rather be Washington. You'd rather be Washington?
I'd rather be Washington. That defense is
Super Bowl special. Those two ends are insane.
That defense, the two ends, they got three. Kerrigan comes off as the all-time sack leader in the history of the organization.
And it's funny how he's like the third guy that comes in like, hey, guys, can I play?
and they got Payne in the inside, and they got Allen in the inside as well. What I'm saying is Alex Smith contract's going to come off the books. That's what I'm talking about. That's a lot of money.
That is a critical position, though. So
what if they go get Matthew Stafford?
What if? Okay, good. Tell me when they do.
Let me know when that happens.
Until they do, they don't have a quarterback, and that's an important position.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. If I had to be anybody, I would be them. Everybody else has their quarterback, right? You got Hurts, right? He's going to be the future.
The Giants have money to spend. They have a quarterback that's still in his rookie deal. Now, the Saquon thing, by the way, they get him back.
Yeah, so you got to pay Saquon.
They have a coach who's in charge. They have a defensive coordinator who knows what he's doing with a good defense. There's a lot of things to like about the direction the Giants are going in.
It is.
And they got the money, like I said, and they got the money to spend, and now they have a top 10 pick. So, there's a lot about the Giants I like, certainly, as well. Let me get one more here, because I want to get a Jets call. He's been waiting on hold for a while. Derek in Harlem. Come on, Derek.
What's up, Alan? What's up, Bart? I want to give some admiration up to the Giants fans. You know, as a Jets fan, I really admire you guys playing for, you know, a top 10 pick while also playing meaningful games at the end of the season. I appreciate that. Also to the Nets, too. I appreciate the Nets as a Knicks fan. You got two guys who can look at each other and take that last shot and miss. You know, I appreciate that. You know, as a Knicks fan, so I'm looking to a good year coming up. I want to give you guys some roses. Can I give you guys some roses?
You could throw roses. I just think it's so funny how Knicks fans, we're six games in and you guys can't
win. Listen, we're going to wrap it in.
I know. When you get your chance, it's great.
Because I might not get another chance to do it. I got to do it now. But I want to give you guys some roses. Man, I'm glad you guys are going national. Everybody's going to get the feel, but we get the feel every day. Yo, Bart, go out, do your thing. I already hear the haters because, you know, they're hating on you because of your LeBrick comments, because you tell them the truth. Don't let them hate. It is what it is. Alan, I messed with you from the long way ever since, you know, the Han and Hunty days, the Han Solo. You know what it is. So when you get on the mic, you got to let them know. So rock your melody. Let them know you and Bart paid for and represent for New York. We out.
No doubt.
Thank you, Derek. I appreciate you, man. People need to understand, too. The one thing I'm going to miss about the show is our intro won't be there because we can't use some of that stuff.
What?
I know. We'll keep it up though on the Twitter, so you can always go back and on the Twitter handle so you can hear it. But all the, you know, and about how hard you get hit, about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward, all that stuff, like that can't be used for, I guess, some kind of rights reasons or something, we were told.
Yeah, we can't.
That part's heartbreaking.
What type of stuff is that?
Yeah, I know. But everything else about the show, let's be honest. Like, Bart, do you expect to do anything differently tomorrow?
No. We're just
Nobody told me I had to. Like, honestly. Like, I hope in, you know, places like, you know, Iowa and, you know, Minnesota and New Orleans and Phoenix can't wait to hear you. How's Kyler Murray doing? That's probably the most exciting part will be when you talk about Kyler Murray and our friends in Phoenix who will be coming on after us. Have to hear you. got so upset, right? How dare Bart talk about him like that? Oh, really? How's he looking now?
Yeah, the 8-8 look.
Yeah.
And then, he tried to battle back and come back and be a leader and stuff like that. But
yeah, he did try to fight. At least he did that. He did play. He obviously was hurt. You know, he does show some courage there. But, you know, to believe that that's a finished product by any means, like, he's got a lot of work. There's no question.
And you hear the coach saying, hey, you know, he's trying to learn how to be a leader. He's developing as a leader.
Okay.
You know, so like I said, like.
So is Carson Wentz, apparently, because he keeps to himself. His teammates respect him, but they don't love him, and that is an issue. Yep. Quarterback is such an important position. They've got to respect you, but they also need to, in the huddle, trust you, love you, right? Like, just believe in you. And I think Carson lost a lot of that. He stopped believing in himself, too, which is a big issue.
Well, you get hit in the back of the head like that so many times. Maybe. I mean, sacked 50 times. And some of those is his fault, right?
Yep.
Some of those was his fault. But, I mean, like, some of those, you know, things that happen, like, you lose your confidence. When you lose it, it's hard to get it back, especially in the middle of the year. You know, I can see him maybe, if he goes to the Colts, man, that's going to be, he's going to have a new lease on life. He's going to have new teammates. Back with his guy. I mean, and how is his team since DeFilippo left and how since Frank Wright left? Yeah. Like, you know, was it more about those guys as assistant coaches, or was it more about Doug Peterson?
We'll find out. We'll find out if Doug Peterson stays the head coach and if they make a choice between Wentz or Peterson. Adding to the list now of coaches that the Jets are requesting interviews with, as we mentioned, Arthur Smith of the Titans is one. Matt Eberflus of the Colts is another expected. Eric Bieniemy is the one everybody expected they would want to be in on. Now, Tom Pelissero is reporting that Brian Daboll, the Bills' offensive coordinator, has done a really nice job there.
Yeah.
They have requested an interview with him, and I like that on many levels. The one, because you know he's the one that really has taken that offense and working with Josh Allen and developing him and that offense into what they have. Now, getting Stephon Diggs was incredibly helpful, of course.
Right.
But if you hire a guy like that, you're also, what are you doing to the Bills?
You're weakening them, right? You're taking away a strength. We talk about, you know, what's up with Carson Wentz since he lost DeFilippo and you lost Frank Reich.
Frank Reich.
He hasn't been the same. You know, when he had those two, you know, he was playing at an MVP level. So that's what you hope that happens to Josh Allen. You hope that you strengthen yourself and weaken an opponent because now they have to try and replace him.
800-919-3776. Let's take Mike in L.A. What's up, Mike?
Dude, you're killing me with the Justin Fields mess. Now, all I can say is I really, really hope that other people in the league start to fall in love with Justin Fields' one great game against, you know, finally playing somebody that wasn't elevated high school teams like the Big Ten littered with. And falls in love with him like you have, because this is ridiculous. What gives you any reason to believe that this guy is any better than the rest of the dreck that comes out of Ohio State's program?
Mike.
I got nothing. No,
Jason. Mike, stop. Mike, take a breath. What part of any part of this show did you hear anyone gush about Justin Fields?
I'd say he's like
Jalen Hurts. Gosh, Allen.
I actually said that Clemson's defense was. I actually said, hang on. Hey, see, this is the problem. You do a lot of talk, you don't do a lot of listening. I said the Clemson defense, especially after that kid was thrown out of the game, the middle of the field, it was a joke. So I looked at the numbers and I felt like. And Bart absolutely said he wasn't impressed with him at all. Do you have the right show on, Mike? Neither one of us said anything about Justin Fields that we felt like he was I'm convinced.
I thought I heard a little bit more going leaning towards picking Justin Fields.
We both said that two pick.
Worst mistake in the history of the NFL.
I said that two pick has now more value because other teams might look at his performance and get excited about it. And we talk about trading down, and Bart's always talked about trading down. This is what we got to do. See, Mike's from L.A. And we're going to have now callers in the next, you know, starting tomorrow from all over the country.
Yeah.
And we implore them, you better listen, because we ain't putting up with this crap. Like, you can't call the show and say, you guys said this, and if we didn't
and
say
it. And be wrong.
Hell yeah. Least, I'm not going to just sit back and let you just start barking at us.
At least be right.
Damn. I know, right. Like you can criticize us for a lot, but just be right when you do.
Oh, you didn't say that? Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Like, do all that, you put on that show. Oh. Wrong show? Oh, my bad.
Like that was tremendous, right?
Clean my ears.
He was so mad at us for something we didn't even say.
Elevated high schools. Like, okay, we agree.
Well, I mean, he's not wrong about six right. games in the Big Ten. I mean, let's not get too excited about six games.
Indiana was a tough game.
Yeah, he had a bad game against Indiana. But still, no, I need to see, like, if he does it against Alabama, maybe I'll start buying in a little bit. But I'm not ready to just go. I'm giving up on Sam, and I'm making Justin Fields my guy at number two.
Yeah,
no, no, no. If I get a couple of picks and move back, I might do that. But see, this is where I am with Sam, Bart, and this is where I need you to help me.
Yeah.
Sam was supposed to be the one.
Yeah.
Sam fell in your lap at three.
You
moved up, but you didn't know it was going to be Sam at three. Like, you thought, like, the Giants taking Barkley to change everything. You get this guy, and he was supposed to be the one.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's him or if it's the fact that he had bad coaching and bad development
and bad
in
teammates.
3 years and not enough talent. Like, I don't know. He hasn't gotten better. He hasn't gotten worse, but he hasn't gotten better.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Do I let him go and let him become Ryan Tannehill somewhere else? Or do I say, I got to give this guy more time? But as you said, now you got to also pay him, which is a problem. So it's a tough spot to be in.
And the reason Joe Douglas can make that decision, because he didn't draft him. See, he
fair.
Said, that's not my mess up. So if we move on from it, just like Ron Rivera was like, you know what, Dwayne Haskins, I'm not waiting to see if this dude can mature. I'm not waiting for this dude.
They saw a lot of behind the scenes with him that made them feel like we got to move on from this.
And the worst thing that ever happened to a young player like that is to play where you're from. Because you got all these people that don't have your best interests at heart. They have their best interests at heart. And I'm sure he has some buddies from the old neighborhood sitting right in there throwing ones that he probably went and bought from that he went and got out the ATM or went and got from the bank, sitting right there that's known him his entire life. And that instead of saying, hey, man, you should be studying, man, this is going to look bad, they were the ones taking the pictures.
That is part of an issue too when you go back home and there's all those great expectations. But that's another story to wait to hear about out in Washington. But mentioning Ron Rivera, as you just did, he will lead Audiophiles.
The Audiophile.
The pause, of course, was
pause
for effect and intensity. So Ron Rivera. So the Washington, and I had to give Peter Boddy credit for this. Yesterday's game, last night's game, was the WFT versus WTF. And so they win the division. They win it with 7 games. Ron Rivera and a season that Washington went through with, as we mentioned, the Haskins stuff, with Alex Smith and his comeback, Ron Rivera going through cancer treatment, all that going on, and they're division champs. And here's Ron Rivera on that.
It's really a cool thing to come out and get the division. It's kind of a double-edged sword, though, because obviously, you know, we play Saturday night against Tampa Bay. We got the first place schedule next year, which is not going to be easy. But I think what it does is it just shows these guys that if they work hard, do things the right way, they give themselves a chance. And again, we got a young group of guys, a lot of young guys that have played a lot of football, meaningful football, and this is cool for them. This really is.
Do you give them a chance, Bart, against Tom Brady because of those ends that you know Brady hates pressure and hates guys falling at his feet?
We've seen Tom Brady struggle with this type of NASCAR package, guys that can get interior pressure, exterior pressure. And they have, you know, not one, not two, not three, not four. They got 5 great pass rushers that can get after it at any time. Tom can be that sitting duck. They can get to him. So I get concerned with it a little bit. And we're going to see how they come out. But I tell you what, Alex Smith did not look healthy. He did not look like he could move
much. Not moving well. Not throwing off the
foot. On the other side, if I'm Todd Bowles, I'm going to light him up.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm going to light him up. And, you know, I'm going to bring that pressure and make him have to make decisions quickly. We saw how quickly he was getting the ball out of his hands yesterday. That's because he didn't want to take any hits. He looked super ginger. So, I mean, I give him a shot, yes, because of that defense. And maybe they can get one out of Tom's hands and have Tom looking and start seeing ghosts and hearing footsteps. But, you know, not likely. I think this is going to be the better matchup than, you know, Washington versus, even though they played him tight, I think, you know, you can't do the same thing twice against Tom Brady. He's been there, done that. He hasn't seen Washington and the problems that they can bring.
Well, the other team would have been the Giants if the Giants got any help from the Eagles. And that would have also been interesting. Tom Brady back at MetLife playing the Giants in a playoff game, but that was not to be because Doug Peterson decided in the fourth quarter to go away from his starting quarterback in Jalen Hurts, who wasn't exactly lighting it up, but still, it was a close game.
Close.
And he brings in Nate Sudfeld, their third-string quarterback. Carson Wentz did not dress for the game, and Sudfeld just was... It was just horrifically bad. It was as if the whole team... And that's why I feel bad. Like, if I'm Sudfeld, I'm feeling like, Everybody's mad that I got into a game. the whole team collectively, you could just see it on the sideline. They were all just like, what are we doing? Doug Peterson tried to explain after the game.
Yes, I was coaching to win. Yes, that was my decision solely. Nate has obviously been here for 4 years, and I felt that he deserved an opportunity to get some snaps. And listen, if there's anything out there that thinks that I was not trying to win the game, I mean, you know, Ertz is out there, Brandon Graham's out there, Darius Slay's out there. You know, all our top guys are still on the field at the end, so we were going to win the game.
Come on now. Like, what? A BS translator, Bart. Give it to me.
Yeah, did the players go out there before the game, or did they come in his office before the game and put their jerseys on the desk and say, this was for Rudy?
Like, what the hell Sudfeld to play?
Yeah, what the hell we tell him? Hey, I want him to take my spot, coach. Hey, Sudfeld's earned the right, coach. Like, what the hell? What is this, high school, bro? Like, nobody cares. Like, it's all the stories don't end positive and happy. Like, this ain't a Disney movie.
But
like,
what are we talking about? RC said it's not senior day. It wasn't right. Senior night.
Yeah, what are we talking about, man? Did he give his parents roses before the game started and met him at the midfield? Stop it, man. Oh, this is an opportunity, and then you knew that you hurt their chances of winning. Yes, those other guys was out there. But when a guy out there that's responsible for putting the points on the board is no longer there, then that's a tough thing. Like, I'm trying to figure out, is this Brett Favre falling for Strahan? Is this you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Is this Peterson throwing some love out there because he hates the Giants and he much rather let his friend go, somebody who's coached on that coaching staff for 5 years as a linebacker coach? Is that what it was? Hey, let Ryan go. He's a good guy. He deserves it. It's been a sentimental year. We like Alex much more than we like, you know, Saquon Barkley and Sterling Shepard and Golden Tate.
What coach would throw a game like that? What coach would do that? Yeah. What kind of coach are you if you would do something like that? Like, you know, I mean, it ain't charity. People make money off this stuff. This ain't charity.
If you wanted him to get some reps, you could have gave him reps at the beginning of the game. That way, you know, you put your best person out there to win the game and say, all right, well, we tried.
If I'm the league, I'll say it again. The league, there should be some type of sanction on the franchise for this, because that game mattered to not just the team you were playing against. It mattered to another team as well. So I know Giants going to control their own destiny, blah, 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 blah. I get that. But it doesn't matter. It's still, the math told me that another team was impacted by this game. And so, therefore, I just feel like that decision, there's no way you can justify that decision by saying you just wanted to get him some reps. You ain't getting a guy reps in the fourth quarter of a game that means something for the playoffs. Money is exchanged when you make the playoffs or fail to make the playoffs. Jobs are lost if you fail to make the playoffs. So there's something, the league's got to do something about this. All right, last but not least. So Aaron Rodgers has had an MVP season. In fact, he very well might win the MVP. And the Packers are the number one seed in the NFC. And this is all after, of course, the Packers decided not to get a skilled player, but Jordan Love instead, the backup quarterback, for some reason, while Aaron Rodgers is still in his prime. So here's Aaron talking about whether he still believes after a season like this, though, he will be a Packer for life.
The situation hasn't changed. I'm really happy with the way that I've played and our team's played this year. But there's, you know, factors out of my control that just kind of are what they are. Probably a little different conversation sitting here with the season I had, the regular season I had, compared to, you know, if it had been maybe the numbers that I had last year. But I'm not really worried about that at this point. And nothing, I don't think, has changed.
Now, let me ask you this. Is there, in some way, do you think this is like, all right, Aaron Rodgers is kind of plateauing. Let's light a fire under his ass. Let's go ahead and draft a guy and make him think like we're going to replace him. Because he had the revenge season of all revenge seasons, did he not?
Yeah, he did. And then you think about next year is probably his last year. He understands you're not going to have a guy in the first round and you're going to sit him on the bench for 3 years. You know, I know Aaron Rodgers sat for 3 years, but that was a different time.
Yes.
You know, so like now, you know, it's going to be time to move on. So we can see Aaron Rodgers finishing his career maybe in a uniform. He'll be the most sought-after
Tom Brady
free
did
agent. Yeah, he'll be the most sought-after free agent, you know, since Peyton Manning left and he went on a tour to Tennessee and then he went on to Denver and decided to sign there and win a championship. Somebody's going to get him at 38, 39 years old.
and he's going to have 2 years left in the tank, and he's going to win something or be right there in the middle of it. And it's going to be, I think it's going to be a hell of a bid for his services. And the guy's going to be, you know, it's going to be like going to Meekum or going to Bear Jackson. You know, guys are putting up those paddles up trying to say, I got 10 to 20, 25, 25, so.
Bart speaking from experience. Gotta get emotional. Are we going anywhere?
Tom grabs you by the wrist, directs you where to.
No, the truth is though, so make the best. Is somebody very important to the show will not be part of it going forward.
Yeah, man.
And look how quickly he turns the music off because he knows what we're going to do here. But that is something that we do want to acknowledge as we are moving to noon to two tomorrow, starting tomorrow. We will be on ESPN Radio nationally. We will stay in New York. Our New York flavor, our New York sound, none of that's going to change. But now the rest of the country gets to hear everything that you hear in New York has have been part of for this past year. We will be on ESPN Plus if you want to see our ugly faces on a TV screen. We have that going on, too. But what we won't have going on is a lot of the backbone of the show and a lot of the foundation of the show, a lot of what has allowed us to let this show grow and become what it's become, and that is Anthony Pusick, one of our producers. Anthony is moving up, though, in the world. Anthony's moving on to the Michael Kay Show.
Yeah, he graduated.
And he will be taking over on that show with Andrew Gundling and being a big part of that. And for a Fordham guy to work with Michael Kay and to be on the YES Network and all that stuff for him, and obviously ESPN as well, like, that's a big deal for Anthony. So he has grown. And I started, Bart, with Anthony when I moved to nights. Anthony was there doing nights as a producer, one of several of the great people that work at night for us as producers. And Anthony quickly became one of my favorites, mainly because of just how hard he worked and how much he cared about the show. When you have people invested...
He's Octoman.
And he is an octopus. Right. He understands. Like, you know, you can see these boards in these studios, right, and they've got like a million gears and slides and buttons, and you're like, what is this, dude? Don't touch that. What is this, dude? Don't touch that. Like, he knows what every button means, and I'm looking at it like, what the hell? How could you need all these buttons?
Yeah, man.
But he knows. He can turn around an interview quickly and have it already on a podcast. He has things ready. I'll say to him, like, Anthony, did you hear this sound? Can we get that? When do you need it? Next segment. That's in 30 seconds. Yeah, I know. And then he's like, I'll figure it out. 20 seconds later, he's like, it's on your page. Yeah. Like, that's just how good he is and how quickly he has grown at this station as one of the best producers we have. We're going to miss
Michael
him,
K.
Dude.
You welcome Michael Kay.
Yeah,
I'll
no
expect something
right
for Christmas next year.
Yeah, exactly. Helping
taking
them
out. Anthony from us, you piece of...
They did. Well... Right. Anthony won't miss the fact that we do that, where Bart goes that, and he's sitting on now the dump button, worried that you're going to... Like, Anthony's anxiety will go down greatly that he is no longer going to listen with us. But no, but it's just, though, it is a testament to what he's grown into, but how much he's meant to our show. There's no doubt about that, Bart. He's the guy that has kept us on the air, and through all that technical stuff at the beginning of shows... Throughout this pandemic,
like
when you and I can't hear each other, where the mic doesn't work, with this, whatever it is, the guy that figures it out and fixes it is Anthony Pusick. He is the guy that has allowed this show to stay on the air through all the technical issues that we've gone through. Whatever it is, he's the reason why this show even gets on the air on an everyday basis, and why the podcast is up, and why you see it, and all the social media stuff. So,
what he did at the beginning of the pandemic, going into the building, you know, being one of the very few people that can go in, and him, you know, putting himself at risk to make sure that the show can go forward, and while we were safe in our homes, covered up with Lysol and disinfectant, you know, he was going in with the mask on, the Fu Manchu covered up, and doing all that stuff, man. And now, you know. Man, this is... I hope he still calls us.
No, he won't.
Yeah.
He already jumped off our group chat. You see that?
Who are you? Why do I got to talk to you?
You didn't see that? Yeah, he's gone.
Wow.
Big star now on the Drive Time show. The number one Drive Time show. Big star. So we wish him the best, of course. We thank him for everything. I don't think thank you is really enough, but we do anyway. And we're going to miss him. and whoever it is in Bristol that will be stepping into his role. John Winthrop will stay with us, which is great because we need him.
Yeah.
He's the captain, my captain. But whoever is going to be stepping into Anthony's shoes from Bristol, they have to understand it's a high standard, and we are a pain in the ass to work with.
Really?
There is certainly no doubt about that.
Because I got the attention span of a gnat.
What'd you say?
I said,
I'm a warrior.
But, I mean, Bart, with like a minute to go here, again, I want everybody in New York to understand that this show is not going to change.
No.
We are the same show. We're always going to be. There's so many people we're seeing on, well, they're going to be national. They got to talk about this stuff and that. Like, we're not going to start talking NASCAR now, okay? Like, you know, like, we are going to do the show we have always done, the same way we've done it. I'm not going to suddenly lose my New York accent. That's not going anywhere. Like, we are going to do the show like we've always done it. New York is our foundation. New York is our home. So New York is going to be the flavor we have in this show. What we're going to do, though, is just have in mind that the rest of the country is always also listening, and they're going to be part of the conversation as well.
Facts.
That's great stuff, man. That's great.
That's why I get the big one.
Bart already doing the TV thing where he just nods.
Great
analysis.
It's
like, well, we're not
right. Well, they can't see you, Bart. Duh.
Yeah.
Don't.
But no, we'll be taking calls, all the things that we have always done.
And it's been a wild ride.
And it's amazing to think in 1 year. But now tomorrow, we go national and Bart, I'm going to say it for you. I can't wait.
I holla.
Don't miss Bart Scott and Alan Hahn. Weekdays at 11 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN.